It's time for the truth. Will you join me in the study of the precious Word of God that we may come to know and come to grow in the Lord Jesus? So glad that you've joined us today. We're in the book of Acts, Acts chapter 2. We're going to begin reading with verse 25. And so please that you'd open your Bibles to Acts 2, 25. We're actually over to the 27th verse, but we'll begin reading with verse 25. While you're looking that up, I'd like to share with you with this program is brought to you by the folks at Parkview Bible Church. We're located over in Hamilton, Illinois at 18th and Church Street. We're just one block north of the Dairy Queen, and I'm the pastor, Larry Mulch. If you'd like to write to us, our mailing address is Parkview Bible Church, Post Office Box 43, Hamilton, Illinois 62341. If you'd like to write to us or like to send us an email, it'd be parkviewbible@gmail.com. or parkviewbiblechurch@gmail.com. And if you'd like to check out our website, it's www.parkviewbiblechurch.org. Hope that was enough time now for you to open your Bibles and prepare for the study. Acts chapter 2, beginning to read with verse 25, "For David speaketh concerning him, I foreknew the Lord always before my face, for he is my right hand, that I should not be moved. Therefore did my heart rejoice, and my tongue was glad. Moreover, also my flesh shall rest in hope. Because thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. Thou hast made known to me the ways of life. Thou shalt make me full of joy with thy countenance." Men and brethren, let me freely speak unto you of the patriarch David, that he both dead and buried, and his sepulchre is with us this day. Therefore, being a prophet, and knowing that God had sworn with an oath to him, that of the fruit of his loins, according to the flesh, he would raise up Christ to sit on his throne, he, seeing this before, spake of the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in hell, neither his flesh did see corruption. Let's begin with prayer after the reading of the Word. Father, thank you that we can come together today and enjoy this time. It's just so important, Father, that you show us your way and will and give us your strength. Please, Father, just guide and lead us through this study. Bless the Word. Show us your Word. Show us your will for our lives, that we may walk in that precious will. First, Father, we know that we need to come by faith to you and be born again. We need to be saved. We need to realize that we're a sinner, recognizing we're a sinner. And the only way we can do that is the Holy Spirit shows us, because otherwise we see nothing wrong with ourselves. Father, but you show us. You show us who we are. And at that point in time, we need to say yes to you and call upon you as our Savior. So please, today, that all that are listening will know you as their Lord and Savior. And if they don't know that now, that they will by the end of this day, because today is the day of salvation, you tell us. So guide and lead us now. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. As we look at these verses of Scripture, we have gotten ourselves down to the 27th verse. And it says, "Because thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption." Much in this. We got many verses of Scripture we're going to look up in the process of this. Word soul here means the immortal, the invisible part of man, our soul. It means thou will not give me over to it or allow me to be held under the power of hell. And so when we look at this here, because thou will not leave my soul in hell, and what a promise that is. And we know as we read on, neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. And so got many, again, verses of Scripture that we're going to look at here. Hell is Hades, region of the departed spirits, you could say, of the lost. The New Testament Hades is the place where the wicked spirits now are and will remain until the death and hell shall be cast into the lake of fire. And we find that verse of Scripture in Revelation chapter 20. Revelation 20, verse 13 and 14. The sea gave up the dead which were in it. Death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. They were judged every man according to their works. Death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death, and whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. So we find that death and hell, and as we look here, the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged every man according to their works. If you want to be judged according to what you do, then you refuse the Lord Jesus' gift of salvation, because you need to understand that you are lost. You're condemned already. Being condemned already, you have literally 2 feet in hell. Now, as long as you're alive, as long as you're breathing, you can change that. You can come by faith to the Lord Jesus and be saved, be born again. It says here, thou shalt not leave my soul in hell. The Lamb is speaking here, the Lamb of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. In the Old Testament, hell or Hades has two compartments. They're between the place of torment and the place of paradise. And there is a great gulf fixed between the two. We have studied different times, but we're going to go back there because it is so important as we read these verses of Scripture back here in Revelation as well as in Acts, where it tells us, because thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. We need to understand there what that word hell or Hades means. And so we can learn much about that if we go to the book of Luke, Luke chapter 16. The New Testament is Matthew, Mark, and Luke. Luke 23, Luke 23, verse 43. Luke 23, 43. And Jesus said unto him, verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. Now, what's that referring to? Now, we're going to go to Luke 16 here in just a second and kind of fill some places in. But what that is that thief that repented, that thief that recognized he was lost. The thief that says, I deserve what I get. He doesn't, speaking of the Lord Jesus. That moment, dying on the cross, one of those thieves turned to Jesus and said, please, remember me. There was a repentant heart there. There was a man that was literally taking some of his last breaths, and yet he acknowledged that that was the Son of God, and I'm a sinner and I'm lost. And so we find here, verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. Paradise. Let's go back now to Luke 16. Luke 16, 19. This is a tremendous picture that we have here, and I hope that you can see it and appreciate it. Luke 16, 19, there was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen, fared sumptuously every day. There was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate full of sores, desiring to be fed with the crumbs that fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. Think of that. Look at that picture. It came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. In hell, he lifted up his eyes, being in torments. That's plural there, torments. And seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. Oh, Lazarus was just laying on the chest of Abraham. And he cried and said, Father Abraham. Now, let's stop right there, because that shows you that this rich man was a Jew. Otherwise, he would not have called Abraham father. So that tells us that this rich man was a Jew. He should have known the words. He says, have mercy on me and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. Now, we are told much about hell. You know, it's so sad. It's so sad that almost every funeral that you ever attend, the immediate words, if a person has suffered before they died, they had cancer, or maybe they were in an automobile accident, or whatever the case might be, we always say those words. The words are always repeated, and that is that, oh, I'm sure glad their suffering is over. They're sure in a better place. Well, many times, most of the time, that is not the truth. They are being lied to by the preacher or the person that has this funeral service. Today they call it a celebration of life. Well, we can celebrate a person's life looking at what they've accomplished and what they've done. But it's a greater concern about eternity. Because if you don't accept the fact that you're a sinner and you're lost and you need a Savior, and the Savior is Jesus Christ and Him alone, you are not going to be in a better place. And that person that's laying in that casket has already found out that he's been lied to. And if he could come out of that casket, he or she would come out of that casket and they would say clearly, you tell these people the truth. You tell them I'm not in a better place. This rich man lived a beautiful life. Sumptuously, it tells us. He was a very wealthy man. He had everything. And he paid no attention to the poor folks out there. And this man is named Lazarus. Now, the rich man never even was given a name. But Lazarus was, because even though Lazarus lived this what we would call an awful life, he now is comforted. And so let's go back here once again to verse 24. And he cried and said, I'm in Luke 16:24. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, son, again, that kind of confirms that he was a Jew. Remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest good things, likewise Lazarus evil things, but now he is comforted and thou art tormented. Besides all this, between us and you, there's a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. Then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldst send him to my father's house. For I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. You see why it upsets me so much that everybody that dies goes to heaven. Nobody goes to hell. Well, how do you get to heaven? You don't get to heaven just because you lived on this world and in this life, and you breathed and you died and you went to heaven. No, you go to heaven. You go into the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ by trusting in him as your Savior, accepting that you're a sinner and you're lost. It's the only way. Otherwise, you're going to hell. You're going to hell. So next time you go to a funeral, or as they call a celebration of life, and somebody there or the preacher says, well, we're so thankful they're in a better place. Are they? Did they trust in Jesus? Because if they didn't, that is the only way that you're in a better place. Otherwise, you're in this place of torment. I have five brethren, it says here. If you're not going to come and give me comfort, you send Lazarus up to tell them not to make the decision I made. Tell them to trust in the Lord Jesus as their Savior. Abraham said to him, they have Moses, they have the prophets, let them hear them. You see, this is the New Testament here, so they had the Old Testament. And so as we look and we see Moses, that they hear not Moses. Moses wrote Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. We have those five books of Moses. And then we have the prophets. You got Isaiah, you got Jeremiah, you got all the minor prophets. You got all that, those precious, precious books telling that we're a sinner and you need a Savior, and that Savior is Jesus. And so, Abraham says, they have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. I'm asking you to hear the word of God today. And he said, nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they would repent. Notice that word repent. They would turn from their ways and realize they're lost. And he said to him, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. So you see, we have the two chambers here. We have the two sections here. And so as we read that back in Luke 23:42, the Lord Jesus, as he was hanging on the cross, and that one thief, that one criminal, that one murderer, recognized who he was. The one blasphemed the Lord Jesus. He went to hell. But the other one, Jesus said, today, I will be with you in paradise. That's in the sight of Abraham. Paradise. Two places. Hell, Hades, has two chambers, the place of torment and the place of paradise. So I want you to see that, because that's what we're talking about here when it speaks of the soul. Back to verse 27 in Acts. You can hold it back in Luke if you want to. Because thou shalt not leave my soul in hell, in Hades, in paradise, not in hell, not in the place of torment, but in the place of paradise where Abraham, neither shalt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. Neither will you see corruption. Now, we got several verses of Scripture here that we're going to look up. Let's go to Matthew chapter 12. Matthew chapter 12, verse 40. For as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. Now, we have so many things that man has lied about. You know, we're coming up here, and any time that the calendar comes to the place of Easter Sunday, Resurrection Sunday, they place the Lord Jesus in the grave, died on Friday. They call it Good Friday. No. Jesus died on Wednesday. There's high days, there's Sabbath days of the week of Passover. Because it tells us that they have to have Jesus in the grave. They have to get him off the cross and get to celebrating here for Passover, because it's the Sabbath is coming. And of course, in the Jewish calendar, on the Jewish day, the day begins at nightfall. And so that's the reason. But 3 days and three nights, there is no way that man has tried to describe that there's 3 days and three nights between Friday and Sunday morning. That's a lie. It's got to be Wednesday. It's got to be Wednesday when Jesus died on the cross. Now, how many times and for how long has man listened to that lie? But as we look here at this 40th verse, we find 3 days and three nights. And you may be some of those folks that don't even believe that about Jonah. He was in the belly of that fish 3 days and three nights. And then he went and preached to Nineveh like he should have in the first place. But we have that example. Jesus himself quoted him. So don't deny that took place. And realize that the Lord Jesus, when he said today, told this man on the thief on the cross that was crucified with the Lord Jesus, today I will see you in paradise. See, Jesus was in the grave for 3 days and three nights. You will not see corruption. His body never saw corruption. Beautiful verse of scripture. Let's go to 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 3. Verse 18. For Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit, by which also he went and preached unto the spirits in prison, which sometimes were disobedient. And when once the long-suffering of God waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was being preparing, wherein few, that is, eight souls, were saved by water. Now, the reference here that it speaks of concerning the spirits preached unto the spirits in prison, anyone that does not know the Lord Jesus Christ. And for 120 years, God, through the Spirit, preached unto these lost people. And out of the whole world, out of all the people in the known world, only eight souls listened and got in the ark. That was God's salvation. That was God's salvation. So once again, as we read these verses, for Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit, by which also he went and preached unto the spirits in prison, which sometimes were disobedient. When once the long-suffering of God waited unto the days of Noah, And so the whole point is here concerning the days of Noah. That's what it's speaking of here. And these spirits did go to prison. They went to the place of torment because they did not listen to the Lord Jesus Christ. That's where they're at. The Spirit preached to them, and yet they rejected it. Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 7. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore, he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Now that he ascended, what is it but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all the heavens, that he might fill all things. Now, as we read this, this is a reason that you confirm Scripture with Scripture. Remember what we said concerning the Lord Jesus as he went and told this thief on the cross that I will be with you in paradise in the center of the earth. Remember the two places, a place of torment, the place of paradise, the place where Abraham is, the place where this rich man found himself because he rejected the Lord Jesus Christ. He had everything, but he had nothing because he rejected the coming of the Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, what we find here is that the Lord Jesus, the day that he died on the cross, he went down into the lower parts of the earth. And some point in time, in the next 3 days, whatever the time period is, he took everyone that's born again, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, all those that were saved, all those that died before Jesus went to the cross, because, you see, no one could go to heaven, no one could go to the presence of God until Jesus finished the work. The promise was made, and they were saved by that promise. But until they found themselves that Jesus had finished the work and found this, then could they go home into God's presence, into the presence of the Son of God. And Jesus emptied out this place called paradise and took all them home with him. Took them all home. It's finished. Jesus is the first of the resurrection. They were saved. But they had to wait. They had to wait. Now, let's go to Isaiah. Those verses of Scripture are just tremendous for us to understand what took place. Isaiah 5:14. This is an interesting scripture. It says, therefore hell hath enlarged herself and opened her mouth without measure, and their glory and their multitude and their pomp, and he that rejoices shall descend into it. I believe that that scripture verse is referring to after Jesus come down, emptied it out, and that great gulf fixed was taken away so that hell was enlarged. Gnashing of teeth, crying, screaming, pain, suffering. That's what you have to face if you reject the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't depend upon some denomination. Don't depend upon your church membership. Don't depend upon your baptism. Depend upon the Lord Jesus. Please, right now, say to Jesus, I'm a rotten sinner and I deserve it all. But please save me. Please save me. My dear friend, what are you going to do about Jesus?